This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula.
You don't think I noticed that, but
hanging
I
hanging out with you. What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
What happened?
I have no idea what he means.
All right.
Except I kind of know what he
means. If you sleep well at night saying that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Like a baby. Like you wouldn't believe. Like a dog that just went on a walk, buddy. I sleep through it, buddy. Happy Veterans Day to everybody listening. Unfortunately, your Texans fall on Sunday Night Football to the Detroit Lions 26-23. And it's all the more frustrating because this Texans team felt like they got them, set themselves up to play from ahead, which is one of those things that is necessary against a good team like the Detroit Lions. 23 mm-hmm. points in the early, and then just didn't score anything in the second half. And the second half issues have continued to plague this Texans team. Last 4 weeks, they have not scored a touchdown in the second half. They have a total of 15 points scored over those four halves of football, those four second halves, 15 points. And so it's just been bad. And in fact, D'Amico Ryans was asked about the second half struggles, but he was also asked about like what was it about C.J. Stroud's second half rhythm that didn't match the first half.
It's not good enough turning the football over there, especially red zone or coming out. You know, we talk about getting started in the second half, and we talked about being better in the second half, but to come out and turn the ball over the first play of the second half and to get in the red zone where we have points and to turn the ball over, that's not winning football.
All right, so let's have a very honest discussion here, because what he's doing there is kind of putting it on CJ, which is fine. You know, he's the head coach, he can do that, and it wasn't good enough.
It was a specific question about CJ.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Right?
I don't have a problem per se about that. But let's be very honest here, and I don't think there's any denying it anymore. The Texans have a Bobby Slowick problem. There is a Bobby Slowick problem with this team. Is it even a possibility to deny that at this point?
No. C.J. Stroud has had some shifts in his play where he's not constantly making the right decision as we almost have gotten accustomed to. And I don't even know how fair it is to expect him to make the right decision every time.
Yeah.
But there was a few instances where it's like, hey, get the ball out, where you could see like some of that, I guess, for lack of the better term, some of that shell shock hitting again where, you know, he's getting out on a play action and there's an opportunity to set your feet and let the ball go. Yes, maybe there's going to be a guy bearing down on you, but you have the opportunity to get the ball out in time. Hell, the Tank Dell interception. He had Tank Dell streaking open for a lot longer.
D'Amico just talked about
before
it.
Before he made that decision to throw it, and then he throws it in such a way where it's gettable,
mm-hmm.
and Carlton Davis comes through and picks it. So like C.J. Stroud has some culpability, absolutely. But I, in trying to think of what is happening in these second halves that make it untenable, I feel like the best answer if I have a particularly good answer is just like, hey, man, offensive play calling.
When you don't score a touchdown in the second half in four consecutive games, that's not a fluke. That's on the offensive coordinator. Now let's focus in on that interception. Crucial, critical interception. Tank Dell was wide open. Is that a CJ Stroud problem? Well, CJ Stroud should have made a better play there.
Yeah, he was.
But is that a product of a little shook, a little unsure? And what is that a product of? That is the offensive line. That is the play calling. That is Bobby Slowick. Like the first half yesterday, the old CJ would have thrown that on a rope a lot earlier with a lot more confidence, and Tank Dell would have walked into the end zone. Instead, it's like, a lot of air under the ball. Safety comes up and gets the interception.
Cornerback.
I thought it was good.
That was the thing that got me is I'm not sure that Carlton Davis was the man who was covering Tank Dell.
No, he was on the other side.
He was just coming over on that play, trying to get over and cover it. And the ball is thrown with enough loft and late enough that he can track across the 53 yards of the field to come and get an interception. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? Like, can anyone say that there is not a Bobby Slowick problem with this team with a straight face? Can anyone say that?
You got to point the finger at everybody, man. It starts with everybody.
Okay, D'Amico. You are really channeling today. But he gets too cute. He kind of shuts down things in the second half.
That shuts down things in the second half is the one that's been wearing on me of late. Is it feels like early on in the game, and one of the things I frequently think about is like the starting script. Right, every offensive play caller comes into a game with the kind of a general script of maybe, I don't know how deep it goes, but sometimes 15, maybe 20 plays or what have you, that they want to get to early on. And you see that happen. And in those early plays, maybe in the first half, you'll see some good things happening. You come around to the second half and you see it kind of devolve into kind of more static kind of things. Or the thing that really gets me in addition to that is just it feels like in accordance with a lot of things that we're seeing with this Texas team, they could be slow, really slow to make adjustments.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that was driving me out my mind yesterday was seeing these toss plays that the Texans kept going back to. Over.
One of them might not have been a toss.
And over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, have they sealed the edge once on this toss play? Have they made that, have they gotten that toss to work once against the Lions in this game? And they just kept going to it. Now there was a couple of times, or maybe one time I remember vividly, that you play action off of that fake toss play action. I was like, okay, cool. But is it worth all of those unsuccessful plays for that one? Because I know that setting up plays is something that you need to do and think about as an offensive player caller that's doing this at a higher level. Mm-hmm. But they were doing it to a lot. I mean, hell, again, I'll go back to this as a simple way of getting to this point. The idea that Joe Mixon toted the ball 25 times for 46 yards. Like, to have that inefficient kind of style of running and also still be doing it so much, particularly late in the game, it feels like a lack of an adjustment in the way that you're calling plays. And you were lighting plays on down and putting yourself in a lot of third and longs again.
And running the ball in moments when, you know, you were clearly shutting things, holding things too close to the vest. And for God's sakes, if you do nothing else, Bobby Slowick, look at tape at how Ben Johnson and his offense execute screens. Like, their screen and short pass game ate up the Texans.
That damn near won the game for them.
It did win the game. Yeah. I mean, the Amon-Ra touchdown was a little wide receiver, you know, flare screen or whatever. The other screen on the other side. And Bobby Slowick's offense can't execute a screen to save their damn lives. Like this is – and we talk about C.J. Stroud, and, you know, it's unacceptable. Yes, it's unacceptable. I get it, D'Amico. But I feel like C.J. Stroud's effort in the second half – is a product of what he's experienced this year. And once things started to crack yesterday, CJ started to crack. That's not something that he would normally do, but I think it's a product. He's a symptom. He's a result of some of the problems that Bobby Slowick's offense has given him.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's one of those things that has become, it's also become a lot louder in the general NFL sphere of, you know, people that are analyzing these things, that it feels like CJ's not been given enough answers. And I want to try and be fair about this, because I know that it can be really tough when the foundation of any offense is your offensive line, and this offensive line has not been up to snuff. We've already admitted multiple times on the show that the bar that we have, or at least I speak for myself, the bar that I have for the offensive line is so low because that's how low my expectation is. And I know it's really tough to make some things happen beyond that. But you saw the effectiveness that can happen when you have baseline offensive line play, and then you add it with play action, which I know Bobby Slowick talked about on Thursday, the idea, oh, I think we're up there in percentage-wise of play action you use. No, they were in the 20s. This game, though, they are 20s in like ranking in the league.
Yeah.
Want them, as opposed to a percentage. This game, they used about as much play action as the Detroit Lions did in this. And you saw how effective that was in cutting down the field. Now, there was times where guys were open that CJ did not then quickly decide to fire the ball out to. But they were open, right? That's the schematic thing that you're doing within this. And it just feels like that's week 10.
Yeah.
Seeing that uptick in play action and seeing that usage and seeing the benefit of it. It feels like the Bobby, not only is he like, you know, being stuck in his ways, but it's also taken a long time to find the things that actually work and actually implement them.
No, look, you're absolutely right. But again, there is a Bobby Slowick problem here. And it hurts me to say it. I've been a big fan of his and I've defended him here and there. But it's inevitable. You know, we're going into week 11, man. And these same things are happening. Yes, marginally better, especially in the first half.
Gross.
But yeah, then it gets crazy in the second half. And that's the other thing. We're hanging our hat on, well, they only gave up 4 sacks, 9 pressures, and CJ Stroud was running for his life a little bit late in the second half. That is not good. Like that is lowering of the bar.
That's better than 8 sacks.
Yeah, it's half. Okay, that's what we're hanging our hat on. I think two things were crucial mistakes when it came to building this offense this year, and they go back before the season even started. When they started talking about and implementing tight ends as fullbacks, that did not work out. Like that was a tactical, strategic error. And then the other thing is their hands were almost tied on this one. Laremy Tunsil is very good, but he is not great. And I'm not sure how good he is for the room.
That's the thing.
For the offensive line.
The pass blocking. Apologies there. The pass blocking there, I think the grading is still going to be pretty high. But like the mentality of this offensive line, it boggles the mind how disparate it is from the mentality that you know Coach D'Amico Ryan's you know kind of sets out for this team, and especially you'll see that kind of that toughness, that ruggedness on that swarm mentality show up on the defense, and then on the offensive line, one of the places on offense that you can really hope to have that same kind of feel, it doesn't show up. And I do wonder, I mean, he is the captain on the offensive line, right? He actually has the C for that position group. Like, that has to come back there. But I do wonder, though, going back to the idea of, like, using tight ends as blockers, particularly as kind of fullbacks, how much is it just, like, being so beholden to the system that you feel like you need to have it in that particular way where there isn't the creativity to maybe say, hey, we don't have the personnel for this. Is there a way that we could shift this
Sure.
in the way that we handle
it? Well, it was a mistake. No, I'm not saying that's not That wasn't necessarily a strategy that they believed in. It obviously was a strategy they believed in. It's not working.
All right, so yeah. Is there something that you could do in the midst of this? Because I know a lot of people have said change who's calling plays. I don't know that you have somebody on your staff who I think has the experience to just like pick this up and shift what's happening here.
No, I don't think a change is coming. I think D'Amico did another variation of "It's all on the table" last night. He kind of said like we have to look at everything or whatever. I don't think they're going to go there. But
sorry, someone on the YouTube says, "Yo, tell D'Amico to start calling the plays on offense."
Yeah, well,
you trying to do the Matt Patricia?
I don't think they're going to do it because he said everything was on the table, and they ultimately moved Juice to guard and Patterson to center. But changing play calling is a big move. Now I do know that the Texans, like every other team, probably has allowed Gerard Johnson, Bill Lazor, maybe some other offensive assistants to call plays in the preseason. So
yes.
It's not like it's totally something new, but that would be a very, very bold move.
And at the risk of putting even more people in the kitchen, I think that the thing that I would hope for is, you recall when, and this is a roundabout way again there, but follow me. You remember when the New York Jets fired their head coach?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, hey, can he come over and help? And the Packers did just that, brought Robert Saleh in as a level of consultant. That feels like that might be something that's necessary. Some fresh eyes from outside of the system in particular that could come in and help advise on, hey.
Maybe.
I can. This is a way of self-scouting without it being the self, right? Getting someone else to be a consultant in that way. And one of those names that people keep bringing up is Kubiak because of his ability to always scheme up the run game, like his familiarity with the plays. Maybe there's a level of like loyalty to the team that could maybe bring him in and, you know, encourage him and entice him into doing this. But I do wonder if some offensive consulting might be helpful if you can find the right person to help.
Look, you have a problem. You got to try to fix it. And I think it's undeniable the Texans have a Bobby Slowick problem. And I think some of it, as I mentioned, is going back to their approach. And one more thing on Laremy Tunsil, not to just bash him, but
and
I think
another thing.
And another thing on Laremy Tunsil, and not to bash him, but I think he's part of the problem. He does just enough. He does what he needs to do to be a high-paid left tackle. But he is not Penei Sewell.
That's why it's so frustrating, man.
Yes.
Because he do just enough where you have to pay him.
Yeah.
Like he come in with a ski mask and you gotta give it to him. But
how about you get out on the edge and start road grading some fools like Sewell did?
And they've had
he doesn't do that.
They've had plenty of plays for him to get out there.
Yeah.
It does not look nimble enough to do that. Whether that's, if you want to say that's an effort thing. Or
but he
that's
is nimble enough. He's
capability.
An incredible athlete. He's no different an athlete than Sewell. He's a monster athlete. He just doesn't do it. Like, don't tell me, I'm all pro. I want to be an all pro. That's an all pro. You want to look at an all pro? Look at the tape.
Yeah, but those numbers, those PFF numbers and
that's
all that
it.
Stuff.
That's it.
It don't count for what Sewell can, you know, get out on the edge quick.
Pass blocking grade is what he looks at. Pass blocking grade is what Laremy Tunsil looks at.
And what's funny is that with the offensive line, you typically have, and this is a generalization, I acknowledge it, and I'm saying that up front. You typically had a mentality of players that are like, yo, it don't matter. Get the job done. Protect the quarterback. Fight where necessary, be nasty, get the job done.
You just know? Like, you know, that what was the movie? Major League? What do you want me to die for it? Or the third baseman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you want me to die for it? What do you want me to get out on the edge and block a linebacker? No, I pass block.
That's
look,
that's
let's be honest here. He's not Sewell. He's not close to Sewell.
And honestly,
Sewell is 10 times the player that he is when it comes to the all around player.
What's crazy is I feel like that type of attitude trickled down to the rest of the offensive line, man. Like I'm not saying he's the issue.
You're
but,
not wrong.
But, like, that type of attitude, I do think it affects the whole line. That's why I think they need to have a serious conversation.
What did Titus Howard do? What did Titus Howard do on that play? Stopped. Halfway through.
Hell, I saw Shaq Mason. He got beat, and he just kind of stood back.
Oh,
was like, ooh.
That's a man. That is a name that you brought up that has not been. He's been avoiding the smoke a good amount this season, right? Now that Kenyon Green is not there being a turnstile at left guard, You know who allowed the most pressures in this game?
Yep.
His name is Shaq Mason.
Yeah.
Right? Like that becomes the weak link that you look at in this. And so, man, this offensive line just, I've always, in watching, you know, folks do the draft evaluations of players, when you talk about offense, oh, he's got some nasty. And I'm like, how important is that really? Like, what are we doing here? And this is, I think the Texans are showing a test case of, man, you definitely need some nastiness.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because like I said, the left tackle position, that trickles down, man. Like, I hate to keep bringing up somebody like a Trent Williams, but that dude, that attitude, it carries down, man.
Sewell, they will do anything. He willing to get dirty. And they do everything.
He willing to get dirty, man.
I keep talking about that meeting room. I mean, is Laremy Tunsil good for that meeting room? And it speaks to what you're saying, Figgy, trickling to Titus Howard.
Yeah.
Shaq.
I could be wrong, man, but I
don't know.
And from the 832, disagree with you. I think the interior center, left guard, right guard are doing the best they can. I think they're scrapping their ass off, unlike tackles. And if they are, that's also still kind of a little bit of an indictment.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Shaq's getting whooped a decent amount. You saw Jared and Juice kind of I'm willing to believe you on that, on those. But yeah, there's better still is available for you.
You pay a lot of money for Shaq Mason and the tackles.
Yeah.
They should not be getting beat like that.
You're not getting your money's worth, I'll tell you that for damn sure. So yeah, I think that's a fair thing to also consider when you talk about Bobby Slowick. But no, Bobby Slowick, there's enough weeks under our belts now to say that there's definitely an issue there with Bobby Slowick. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, somebody said, can Dwayne Brown still play? Goodness gracious. All right, coming up next is time for Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do it next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, this is a tough one, guys. This is a complicated one.
Uh-oh.
There is somebody on this floor that is a huge Lions fan.
We gotta go jump them, or
well, but here's the thing. I don't know if I should say their name. That's my confession or not. So I'm walking, you know, around the concourse, and I see someone who works at one of our other stations.
Okay,
she gives me a big hug.
Ooh,
she's wearing it's a she.
Okay,
she's wearing Lions gear head to toe.
Mm.
And as I kind of give her a hard time, she goes, "Please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anyone."
And
when,
what day was this?
Yesterday, last night at the game.
Oh, man.
She's at the game.
Hey, that's bold, man.
Should I say her name?
Nah, don't do that. Don't do that.
You know what? Screw it. Say.
You already promised not to do it, though.
Who is this person?
There's a huge Lions fan.
You're just gonna among us. You're going to lie to their face?
Hey,
and say
we just
want to
talk. We ain't going to jump her.
Like, she, come she told me not to say anything, but here's why I want to say something. Like, It was pretty obvious, like, Lions fan, man.
Man.
But then she goes, but here's the thing. Other people saw her. That's why I think it's fair game. Like, listeners saw her.
Okay.
There were 70,000 people at the stadium.
Did she go to the suite? Did you see her?
I don't think so. I think she was kind of keeping it on the down low.
She ain't doing work. Why? Yeah. That was her personal life.
Because we're not allowed to go in the suite with other team gear on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd have been snitching then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll put it this way. I'm not going to say her name, but I do have a question. How is Jesse Watt liking the new show over there?
Oh,
I don't like what you're doing right now.
Ooh.
No, separate. Separate. How was Jesse Watt liking that show over there?
Wait, so is the new show from Detroit?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Who is from Michigan over there?
You know what? I think Jesse is. Jesse is.
That's real nasty.
Word. Oh, man.
Real nasty.
Where was that energy a few years ago?
Wow. Where was that energy a few years ago? It's crazy.
Technically, I didn't say anything. I just said,
Seen her wear no other uniform around here.
I hope she's enjoying the new show over there. That's all I'm saying.
They say you're not keeping the player, Lopez.
Watch this.
I didn't realize that the Lions fans like really, really did that. I mentioned it earlier, but Mom's was in town, so I went to dinner, you know, as one does. on Saturday, and we happened to go to Papado. Moms wanted to go to Papado, get her that catfish opalousas, okay, all that. So we were out there, and took a while for us to get seats. We was like, what's happening? I mean, it's a Saturday. We probably 20 people tables, and it was just Lions fans deep. And that's when I got the first indication. I was like, oh, they're going to be in here deep on Sunday. Yeah, and they were.
They were.
But they really do the thing where they just be chanting out of nowhere in public spaces. Like, I thought that was like, okay, well, like, you know, tailgate, stuff like, bro, in the Papado?
Yeah.
Bro, this
when you say deep, how deep?
I just talked like 50 people in a Papado.
Is that a little too much, like the chanting and all that stuff?
People are having dinner. There was people in there that were like, what's happening? Because they don't watch football.
Oh, it was a birthday.
It was just somebody was eating a bread pudding. Yeah. Like, what is happening right now? Yeah. And he's, Jerry Goff, what are y'all doing?
Oh, man.
I was like, they really do this.
Yeah, they did.
I was a little punk, though, because I didn't start the CJ Stroud chant back at him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Well, that would have been awkward.
It really would have. And I'm not certain that everybody would have picked up with me. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of Lions fans in there.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that they actually did that. They really do. In real life.
Yeah. Crazy.
Weird. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So I'm kind of torn between something. And this is kind of related to the game last night. I'm really torn. I didn't think this was going to happen this fast. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the D'Amico criticism, I don't know how I feel about it now, man. Because, you know, D'Amico was that love player in this town for years, man. People were super excited when he came home and got this head coaching job. But I'm seeing a lot of D'Amico gotta go. I know this could be overreaction and 100%. All that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I feel about this, man. Because like just think about any beloved player anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden now this person is getting criticized so much to the point I'm like, man, will he be good? Like, let's say he do get fired at some point. Like, can he show his face around this town again, man?
Time heals all wounds.
Yeah, but it's tough, man.
I actually think he's still getting a big benefit of the doubt. Like I think people still, it's bad. You're right. So, there is criticism, it could be like a lot worse.
It's a lot more than I thought. I knew it was going to happen eventually down the line, because if you become head coach and you head coach for years, let's say 4 or 5 years, and you don't get to that Super Bowl, of course you're going to, you know, get criticized. But I don't know how I feel about this, man, because I'm like, man, that's D'Amico Ryans, man.
Sure. Yeah.
That guy that just got that smile that light up a room.
I feel guilty sometimes.
Yeah, man. I don't know how to feel about that. And it's fair criticism.
Sure.
And probably should have a little more, to be honest, if it wasn't that guy. If it was anybody else, we'd probably be dragging them through the mud.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I got to that place where I'm criticizing this guy that did so much in this city and started his family in this city and just smiling and all that stuff. Yeah. I know it's a game and you got to be fair and all that stuff, but I didn't think we was going to get here that quick, man.
How about that?
Hey, man, it's one of those what have you done for me lately type feelings, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's
fair.
That's one of the things, though, that kind of amazes me about his bedside manner in talking to the media. I think that doesn't help. Like, it ends up being like kind of a, I don't know what the right word is, but it can be a little off-putting, for lack of a better term. Mm. And then if things go bad for a little bit, which it feels like it has, then people are a lot more willing to jump on him, where it feels like, hey, man, this dude has done a good amount of winning in a short period of time.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you kind of get that often, especially if it's like a player that's from that city, grew up in that city and become the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of went through that with old friend of the city, Brian Hoyer. So when he's up in Cleveland, he was a Cleveland guy, grew up a Browns fan, and he had some good times there, but he also had some bad times where you.
But he's back. He could walk into that stadium. And,
but at that moment, you feel guilty for just whamming on this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, dang, he is a good guy, grew up here and all that stuff, but you pretty much giving him the finger, tell him, get the hell out of here. You suck. So it kind of made me feel some type of way, but I think it's fair.
All right, maybe I'm just being a little mean here.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Maybe.
When you outed earlier?
I didn't out anybody.
Okay. So you're just not going to
stand on it. How is Jesse Watt liking that show?
Okay. You can't do it again.
So here's the other part I'm going to be a little mean on, but it's all in fun. Just made me laugh. So Reggie Jackson is moving on from the Astros.
Yeah.
Y'all saw that this weekend, right?
Did, yeah.
And he said he wanted to spend more time with his family. And the first thing I thought of is, dude, you're 78.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you want to spend more time with your family?
That's right.
Now? Like, if you can have all kinds of reasons why you're leaving the club, but don't tell me you're going to spend, I just want to spend more time with my family. Dude, his whole career away from his, like, I know he spends time. It just made me laugh. Like, I'm like, dude, I just want to spend more time with my family.
That's right. Now that his family are adults. You know, some people don't like kids, but he was like, I'm going to wait for these grandkids to be 13
or 22
when they old enough where we could just have dinner as opposed to having to wipe their keisters.
I'm like, now that's 78.
Hey, that actually sound cool, because a lot of people, we see a lot of people that retire or, you know, spend more time with their family and they end up getting a divorce.
Yeah,
or
he waited till he was 78.
Hey,
at least he's not Larry Brown. I think Larry Brown is still somewhere trying to coach something instead of going home.
I think you know he is.
I think that's kind of fair.
I don't know if there's anything that I am would be more terrified of being on a football field than a linebacker in the year of our Lord 2024 with a honest to goodness neck roll.
Big time.
Yeah, and in the Miami Georgia Tech game, in which Georgia Tech won.
Hey,
right.
Thanks for listening, Friday.
Yeah, man. there's a cat named Efford. Mm-hmm. I forgot his first name, and his first name to me is Mister, because he's out there wearing the number 44 playing linebacker with one of them big old neck rolls
big
that look like he ain't
roll.
Got no neck.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not doing that. That person.
Rolls need to make a comeback.
They're just they're terrifying. Yeah. That the cowboy or the butterfly collar, those.
Yeah.
You look better at football. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to be good. You look better at football.
You do. They make a comeback.
And honestly, I don't remember the last player that I saw that wore a neck roll or a butterfly collar that was not damn good at hitting somebody who's carrying the football.
I like little stuff like that too, man. Just little tiny stuff. Like even in college basketball, I miss the guys wearing the white t-shirt under.
Yeah.
Just a regular Hanes white t-shirt. Whoever wore those can ball.
Right.
They don't do that no more, man.
No, they don't, right? And so, yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh, he looks terrifying.
Yeah.
Also, Miami, you should probably figure out an offense beyond just Cam Ward will do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So today after the show, I got an orthodontist appointment.
Oh, wow. Braces?
I might be getting braces.
Oh, wow.
So people that don't know, I had braces before I moved down here, but I wasn't finished, with the work and all that stuff. And I moved down here, had to go to a whole different orthodontist, and they was trying to tax me.
That's tough.
I'm like, you know what? Go on and take them off, man. I'll try to get them on another time.
Yeah.
So I'm going back, and I'm kind of curious because right now I'm 36.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, what's the age limit for?
Ain't no age limit. It's up to you, man.
Because, I got to confess this, too. It's somebody in my family. She in her 60s, and she had braces, man.
Fine.
I'm just like,
well, you know what the game is now, right? If you can make it shake, do the Invisalign instead of like the braces, because it presents a little bit better. And I think that, but hey, man, don't worry about that. You getting your teeth together, man.
Yeah, I was just curious. I wonder if it's an age limit for these braces.
Are they going to be able to do the ones where they put them on the back? I've seen people do that, where they put them on the back instead of the front, so you don't look like you a high schooler. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought about that, because I know for sure if I get some braces in the front, like colorful braces or something like that, I'm definitely going to get carded.
But you can pull it off, man.
Ain't no problem.
Yeah. I was just wondering if am I past my time with that?
No.
Apparently, you got some kinship here on the 5-Hour Energy fan line from the 832. I'm 36, and I get braces at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay, I feel better now. Yeah. Okay.
So the people say you're going to be good, but 713 said brace on the backside of your teeth. You're going to cut your tongue. Get regular braces or Invisalign.
A lot of people always say, old school regular braces. Not old school. But like the regular braces. I ain't talking about the braces in the 80s.
With the little wire on the outside.
Yeah, I ain't talking about that.
I always say whatever the insurance covers.
Well, that's the point, but that's true. I will say that Invisalign do be working. I am personal proof of that.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's talk about the rest of these jokers in the AFC South and go around it. We'll do that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Happy Veterans Day on this Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday in the Loop. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. And we appreciate you hanging out with us as we work through our feelings after a frustrating 26-23 loss to the Detroit Lions, a Texans team that looked like, I remember at halftime, I was feeling good, but I was feeling great. I looked up and I was like, hey, man.
That's a wrap.
I'm going to be so happy to say the reasons why I was wrong in various places. Mm-hmm. And then the second
man,
half.
I think I was peacocking more than anybody, man, because I tweeted yesterday morning, like, you know what? I think the Texans going to come out with a win. And then I doubled down and said, Kyamie Fairbairn going to kick a game winner.
Well, he had
and
a shot.
Hey, that was it was looking good for me. I'm thinking like, okay, it can't nobody tell me nothing.
Yeah, man.
Man, it just went total bleep.
It went to total bleep indeed. So that was one of four losses in the AFC South this weekend. So let's go around the AFC South, as always, to choose your own adventure. But yeah, just want to remind you that for the first time all season, all four teams in the AFC South lost. So, fun week, huh?
What a week it was in the AFC South. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts, because there's some weird stuff going on.
All right, Indianapolis Colts 4-6 after a loss to the Buffalo Bills 30-20. So no one loses any ground here, as the Texans, or nobody gains ground rather on the Texans. It would have been nice. You would have had opportunity to have a 3-game lead, an effective 4-game lead with a tiebreaker over the Colts. No, that remains at 2 with an effective 3-game lead. As you start to narrow down the season, though, seven games to be played still for the Texans. So you're nearing that situation. But Joe Flacco fumbled and he threw 3 interceptions in this game. One of those interceptions was returned for a touchdown. And 2 of them led to a field goal and a touchdown. So a lot of scores off of turnovers from Joe Flacco. He had a couple more turnover-worthy plays that didn't get there. But they're going to stick with him at quarterback.
That's the story.
What are you thinking here? Because, like, the whole idea of Joe Flacco is having a veteran guy that can kind of get some things done. But if he's going to be this ineffective, although, mind you, against the Buffalo Bills team that's, you know, finding their stride a little bit, what's the decision there as opposed to going back to Anthony Richardson?
I think the answer is they have zero faith in Anthony Richardson now, and more importantly for the future. Joe Flacco, his career is pretty much done. His career was done, and then he comes back. Nice story, in Cleveland. We know that one very well in these parts. Decent start when he came in with the Colts, but his career is basically done. And Shane Steichen is saying, until further notice, or I think he said, until I say otherwise, Joe Flacco's our guy. That's all you need to know about Anthony Richardson.
But I don't think that they're done with him by any means. That's the thing.
I think they are. How can they not be?
To me, this kind of looked like a little bit of Robert Saleh with New York, how they got this quarterback they drafted high, and he's not really playing as well. And it don't look good at all.
I mean, I'm open for suggestions. How can this be any sign? But he's not our guy. Because because first of all, 3 interceptions, lose what, third straight game? I believe the Colts have lost their third straight game, and you have a second year quarterback there who most people would say, well, he can't be worse. Except Shane Steichen is saying, yeah, he could be worse.
Yeah. Quote, Joe Flacco is still the quarterback until I say otherwise. I don't know, man. Like, that is fair. But in the last 2 games with Flacco starting, he is responsible for 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
With the offense responsible for 26 total points. They've scored 26 points over the last 2 games.
How can it say anything else?
It's tough. Unless they feel like the offense is situated in such a way where it's not going to allow Anthony Richardson to grow and it's going to be more detrimental than beneficial. I don't know if that's exactly how I would look at this. So, that's a rough goer for the Colts, where they have a guy who they drafted in the hopes of him being a franchise-type quarterback. If they are in the place where you believe they are, Lopez, that is real nasty to be in year two and immediately, like not even all the way through year two, have benched him and really be looking towards the idea of this is not it.
I mean,
sucks to suck.
It wouldn't surprise me, man. It wouldn't surprise me if they go into this offseason and I don't know where they're going to be drafting.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have a chance to get another quarterback, it would not shock me, man.
Yeah.
And maybe
I think that's the messaging. Maybe, is pretty clear.
And maybe they find somebody who want to take a flyer on Anthony Richardson.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing that's interesting. But they also decided they opted against trading him at mm-hmm. the deadline. Now mm-hmm. maybe that comes in the offseason. The tough thing about it, I always come back to with all these quarterback needy teams. This is not a strong quarterback draft. So yeah, best of luck to teams in that regard. All right, pick your own adventures continues around the AFC South.
I think the next most interesting one would be the Jaguars lost to the Vikings. The Vikings wanted to give them a chance here.
Yeah, 12-7. Mm-hmm. This was a real low scoring game. The Jaguars fall to 2-8. Gross. In Mac Jones' very first start with Jacksonville, 14-22 for 111 yards and 2 interceptions. So nothing to write home about. But also, the big thing might be less about the Jaguars themselves, but more about the Vikings.
Yeah.
As Sam Darnold looks like he might be turning into a pumpkin.
Yeah, he was looking like Jared Goff out there, man. Yeah.
I don't know how to believe what to believe here, because what he was doing early on didn't seem like a fluke, you know?
It seemed like
he had it in him.
Well,
in that offense.
It was really just, hey, a lot of mitigation of, you know, bad circumstances. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of Kevin O'Connell putting him in good circumstances, but you know, he was not the expected starter for this team, but also for other teams planning for this team. And I think you might have gotten to a point where defenses have seen enough. They know who Sam Darnold is, and now they're giving him issues. It's hard to think that the Jags are that, but hey, 12 points in this one. Only two Jacksonville wide receivers caught passes in this game. Yeah. Gabe Davis, who had a 19-yard reception that set up the Jags' only score of the game, which was a 1-yard quarterback sneak. And Brian Thomas Jr., who had a 2- and 10-yard gain in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, look, the Chargers are absolutely legit. I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. I don't think this is a tease. They're really good. They're playing better football than the Texans. They're legit. But when you...
Wait, who are you talking about? The Chargers?
The Chargers.
I was still talking about that Jags game.
Oh, okay. I thought you were ready to move on.
No, but just finishing that out. And apparently that when Doug Peterson was asked what was supposed to happen on the interception that Mac Jones threw late in the game, Peterson said, "I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out. But we're going to look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections."
Last thing on Jacksonville, they had the ball for 17 minutes.
Total?
17 minutes, time of possession.
The whole game?
17 minutes and 41
Goodness
seconds.
Gracious.
Their next game is against these Detroit Lions in Detroit at Ford Field. So chalk up 2-9.
And they're going to be a little angry. They're going to be wanting to make another statement about how good their offense is. How do you have the ball for 17 minutes and 41 seconds in an NFL game?
Very, very
How many
careful.
Three and outs did they have? Man.
Several.
By the way, the Jags had, Sam Darnold threw the ball through 3 interceptions. The Jags generated literally no points off of those possessions. So, yeah, that's tough. All right, now we move to the Tennessee Titans, who played the Chargers. And, yeah, this is where we can applaud the Chargers for being very good. Will Levis returned to play. The Titans committed, get this, 9 penalties for 68 yards on the game. And a few of those were drive-killing. Team also allowed 7 sacks.
Their defense is coming back down to earth a little bit, too. The Titans' defense, after really leading... really leading the league for a long time. Special teams gave up a big kick. They allowed Herbert, speaking of the Chargers, to really get going. They're just closing up shop, right?
It feels like it. That's just not a well built team. Although they do have one difference maker, Calvin Ridley, 5 catches, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns in this one. And so, yeah, they're finding a little bit of something there. But, I mean, you knew Ridley could play a little bit. He just liked getting on that app and betting on games, at least that one time. But, yeah, man, it's they're not built very well as they're 2-7. This division is woeful.
It's worse than ever when Bill O'Brien was here.
Yeah, which says a lot.
That says a lot right there.
It does make me think, though, like when Luke Morrow was sitting in for you one of these days, we asked the question of, is it a good thing or a bad thing that this division is as bad as it is? And I thought to myself, absolutely a good thing. You take those wins. You're going to have enough tests in the course of a season with this schedule that it's not like you need these more tests. I don't know. I'm looking around. I'm like, hey, man, this division being this poor kind of puts them in this weird place where they're going to get easy wins, but they're not. They probably do need more of these challenges to get themselves together.
Well, they have a tough schedule. They're just not passing the challenges. You know, obviously Vikings worked them. They did beat the Bills. They've got some games coming up, big games coming up against the Chiefs and the Ravens. So I don't mind it. I would lean toward I'll take the soft division.
That's typically the thought.
If you're passing these other tests. The problem is you're not passing these other tests.
I'm kind of looking, hoping that they come up with a little magic when they get in the playoffs, possibly, where they can flip that switch with all the pieces they got.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I'm glad they playing in this type of division.
Yeah. And by the way, Will Levis really statistically wasn't awful, but he got sacked a lot, pressured a lot, made a bunch of...
Yeah, this is one of those...
I don't have his numbers, but he wasn't awful.
No, he wasn't.
But I think he was just getting... He holding the ball, getting sacked, getting pressured. I think 7 sacks.
Yeah, 7 sacks is correct. Mm-hmm. Will Levis himself was a 18 of 23, which is good for 78% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Solid depth, you know, a couple of touchdowns. He was... probably good in this one game, in this game, you could say.
Yeah.
Just not a great team situationally. Like, the whole team itself is in a bad way, which, again, that doesn't help them in the AFC South, which is being run away with by the Texans, who have lost a couple of games in a row. By the way, the first time in the D'Amico Ryans era that the Texans have lost back-to-back games.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot to mention that earlier. And if they had just done what they should have done, what the Lions would have done with a 23-7 halftime lead, and just put your foot on their throat and end it.
You don't even have to put your foot on their throat. How about you get one field goal?
But they would have had, in essence, a 4-game lead with 7 games left.
That's tough. It's tough to think about. It's one of the frustrating things. I still think about it. If we coming into this week, if you had told me a 3-point game, I felt like I'd have had a much better disposition than we ultimately do after this one, because of just how far ahead you had seemingly put yourself and how you came back to earth in the 26-23 loss to Detroit. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, so are we good on the offensive line now? Let's talk about that next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.